Several things went through my mind when I wondered what I might speak upon today. It seemed like I settled upon this. One thing is concerning deception and varied ways in which it might come, tied as well with the unfruitful works of darkness. And I've chosen a passage of scripture from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and verses 6 and 7, and I may even read down through 11 before I complete this. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And so very plainly here, Paul is speaking to the people at Ephesus, said, and to the Ephesians, let no man deceive you with vain words. And this is something we must be well aware of in any dispensation of time, and I believe especially well aware of in the day we live within. Because I believe that today and the days which follow and precede the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will be days of greater deception than have ever been upon the face of the earth. And that's why today I chose this particular topic, to think upon it and for us to analyze it and consider it. And now I would like to go on down through the 8th through the 11th verses. In speaking to these people of old, he could well have said the same to the peoples of the world today who were converted under the gospel of Jesus Christ. For ye were sometimes darkness. In other words, one time you walked in darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So they were converted unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now they were light in the Lord. And then he gave them the commandment to walk as children of light. And anybody who takes upon them baptism through authority must likewise walk this way. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, these are the way we know those who are following Jesus Christ and God. By their fruits, other scripture says, ye shall know them. And the fruit of the Spirit we know is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. There are 9 of the fruit of the Spirit. But in direct opposition to this, there is the works of darkness, and these I would like to read as well. Now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these. And I want you to tie these and think upon them with the day in which you and I live. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and then there is idolatry, which is not necessarily only the worshiping of a graven image, which was done to quite extensively in times past. And even there are those today who yet literally worship idols in this sense. But there are also many peoples today that are really idol worshipers, and it might not be a graven image. It might even only be money or what it purchases. It could go to that end. And I could enlarge, but I won't. Witchcraft is another one of the works of the flesh, which ties in with sorcery and all such things as that. Hatred, variance, and this is quarreling and disputing. Emulations, and this is those who try to equal or to excel or surpass somebody else, so to speak. And this don't mean that it is wrong that a person should try to better his life. It don't mean that. But there is some that would go to any means to try to surpass what someone else has done, and this is wrong. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, which is stirring up a rebellion against the government, heresies, teachings of doctrine contrary to acceptable, or more specifically here, God's doctrine, envyings and murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like are the works of the flesh. And I want to bring them in because certainly these things are becoming more and more manifest today. It seems like they're just blossoming or blooming all out of proportions. But the fruit of the Spirit is what should concern each one of us. Because God knows us by what we are. By our works shall you know them. Your fellow associates, your friends, your family knows you by what you are as well. And if the works of the flesh is there, they will know that. If the works of the Spirit is there, they can't help but know that too. By the type of person you are, you influence others. We constantly are influencing people. It may be for good or it may be for evil. And we got a responsibility. Because we live in a day when the devil is trying harder than any dispensation of time to deceive mankind. He is the person who fell from heaven and become miserable because he lost that great gift. He is the person who desires the misery of all mankind. In order to really get man miserable, it comes by his cunningly devised plans of deception. And let us not forget that for one moment. Because he is ever about, some in out and out ways of open deception, and others cleverly deceived or concealed, so that you might not really realize that this is a work of the flesh or of the devil, unless we really walk in the Spirit. So that's why I want to stress to us today, if you're the children of light, walk as light. Proving in verse 10 here what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And all too often, we have not stirred firm enough against what we believe is wrong. And we are living in a day wherein wrongdoing is increasingly more acceptable to the masses of the people. It has become a way of life unto mankind. And if it's what the majority want to do, then this is right and acceptable. We hear these things of wrongdoing. If it's done between consenting adults, let it go. It's all right. But this is wrong. It's another one of the cleverly concealed, deceptive plans of the devil to deceive man into thinking that things that are acceptable today in our society, many things are acceptable of wrongdoing. It might even not only be moral ethics, it could be other types of ethics which involve the way you deal in business. There is things that are really legal that to me really aren't right. But then we are to uphold the laws of our land. We know this. Of course, if it obligated us to moral sin, this is another thing. We would not have to uphold such as that. Well, I won't get too far into that. But in our day, too, we find how truth is being taken so lightly, that lying is becoming a way of life. Again, another one of the deceptive plans of the devil. To make you think, or to make others think, that it is all right to lie for a certain circumstance. And as I've had cause to mention before, there is a thing called situation ethics. When certain people are under certain situations, that it could be acceptable. And even ministers said, why, sure, certain wrongdoings, even including adultery under certain situations, is acceptable. But this is wrong. No amount of saying this is right can make a wrong right. God does not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance, and we better not forget that, even for even a bare moment. The language that is being used today, I can't help but consider it and think upon it. I'm appalled at what is used in our nation today. And no matter where you go, it is used, just about. There is some literature that don't have foul and dirty and curse words in it. It is true. But we can't look to a newspaper hardly, unless there's some Christian newspaper it might not use it. This is possible. But our more part, our newspapers, our books, our magazines, our radio, our television shows have language like I've had cause to say before. Not many years back, people would arose in open rebellion against this. And yet today, outside of some are. There is a movement in this nation to try to subdue some of this. But how successful it will be, I don't know. And yet, in all this, it has affected peoples of our nation, this type of language, this type of moral concept. It's affected people in the Church of Christ. It has affected you or I, whether we like it or whether we don't. It don't mean that we agree with it, but yet, the things we read today in a news item, if it used various vulgarity or if it used curse words, we will read over it. And it would not have been the degree of shock it would have been if you would have read it 30 years ago. And of course, I know you young people weren't here 30 years ago. But we who were alive, it would have been a shock to our very moral standards to know that anybody would have allowed such to even been printed. And yet today, even though we don't agree, the shock is not there like it once was. So really, all the types of deception, and this is just one of the types I want to go into today. There is two other types, and then there would be others as well. While in the Kansas City area, in Independence area, I read just briefly, and I would have liked to have time to read the whole articles, but this to me is another thing that is frightening. In this news item, it said, the fastest growing state in the United States percentage-wise is the state of Arizona. And also in this, it says, the fastest growing industry in the state of Arizona. And when I had some start to thinking what it was, it might surprise you if you don't know. It is organized crime. That's the fastest growing industry in the state of Arizona. Now it's time when we better start doing some looking. When a state that is drawing people into it and is growing at huge bounds percentage-wise, it isn't as large a state as some of the others in population. That's why it may not have as much total growth. But percentage-wise, it is the fastest growing state. And yet the mob is getting in control in areas like Tucson and Phoenix and other areas. I heard either on a newscast, or I believe this was a newscast, or read it in a paper, and I don't recall, that there are others. One of the big things out of Arizona now, and this was in a paper this week, and it says guns for dope or guns for drugs. They're trading guns to Mexico for drugs to come back in the United States. And there are 17... handlers of dope and drugs, gangs, so to speak, that are in control of most of this traffic in the state of Arizona. 17 of them. And if others try to make inroads, they could be destroyed. Now there are others trying constantly to get in this very lucrative market. And perhaps you just heard this week, and I heard this as I traveled across Kansas, of an airliner setting down on, I believe it was a highway or something, they missed the old runway, and it was loaded with tons of marijuana. And they picked up some suspects, and others evidently got away. Probably flown in, again, from Mexico. And yet we have this being put forth across our land to affect our young people and our old people, to influence their personality and to cause them to completely change what they are. Maybe a beautiful personage in a young person and a nice personality and a beautiful spirit is changed to one that is completely different and foreign and contrary to what that individual should be. Another one of the plans of the devil to deceive men to think that the use of drugs and dope will cause you to become more of the in crowd in this. And it is a lie and not the truth. And we must be careful lest we be caught in this giant vice or this tentacles as an octopus that will try to engrasp us in his tentacles. We must be careful, and we must be alert. And I thought upon these things, and it concerns me to know that this is running rampant upon the face and breadth of the United States. And there's another article that I had cause to read this week, and I'm not going to read it all, just a bit of it. And I don't know how many of you read it. It's concerning child pornography in the United States. It's in Thursday's paper. And it would do well if maybe you sat down and read it. I'm just going to read a part of it to you. She was just a young child. See how the devil is starting today? Years past, it more involved those who were older. She was just a young child, smiling shyly, when her pictures first began appearing in nudist magazines several years ago. Now notice, several years ago. The poses got bolder over the years. Now, barely a teenager, this should fairly make your blood almost boil to think that this is going on in the United States of America, a nation that is the greatest of all nations. Now, this isn't France I'm talking about. It's the United States of America, a nation who once stood for firm moral standards. And yet, in the book of Ether, it says that whosoever shall possess this land shall serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. Or, going back in the verse preceding, when they're ripe in iniquity, they'll be swept off the face of the land. And those are not idle words. It happened to two great nations. And I suspect that maybe some of this might have caused it, even though pride was the primary thing. But now, barely a teenager, she is a star of a 40-page full-color magazine, and the name of it is How to Deflower a Virgin. This again, this is our nation. It has such stuff as that being sold to young people, not just teenagers, but preteens. It's selling across America. She is a celebrity in the flourishing netherworld of child pornography. The Los Angeles Police Department's Sexual Abuse of Children Unit has been compiling her picture file over the years, and she's just barely a teenager. They see her as a victim, not a star. And listen to this. She is one of thousands of children who have their own family albums at police departments around the country. I'll tell you what, it's time when we started taking inventory. It's time when we started doing some thinking of our own and considering just where we're going and what we're doing. The wide use of children in pornography is only now becoming apparent. Magazines featuring young boys have long been available for the homosexual trade. But in the past year, police report an avalanche of publications and films featuring children. So we can't just say it don't exist. It is real. But it's another part of the plans of the devil to deceive man to think, well, it's all right to look at this kind of stuff. And here's another thing. It says here in early teens or even preteen, this here new magazine, they think that the young girls to ape their older sisters in such magazines as Penthouse and Playboy, and then there's a Playgirl and all this stuff too. They got this. As actually, now it's considered one of the hardcore extravagances, this magazine that I just read the title to you about. And it involves young teens and preteens, and it's going across our nation. Police raids have gathered up whole warehouses full of child pornography. Here's one person that had cause to write a book on the subject. Says he has 264 magazines, each costing about $7 each. Imagine people paying $7 for such a magazine as this, dealing with sex involving children under 16. Now, this is not all that other adult stuff. It far goes beyond this. This is a thing that's happening today. Of course, I was really redless, but I was unaware of how complete this was till I read this. Well, I don't intend to read much more, but there's just a little bit here. Europeans have much stronger laws against kids in this way. 90% of child pornography in the world comes from America. That's a statistic that they better not be very proud of. And a good part of this comes from Southern California. And this is one that, on reading this, I'll just leave it with you to think upon this. A New York housewife is known to have produced a 9-minute pornography movie called Susie and Her Little Brother, starring her 10-year-old daughter and 9-year-old son. Officials of Odyssey Institute have been showing the scratchy, crudely sexual movie around the country as evidence of what is going on. The Institute said the housewife sold 60 copies of the movie last year for Christmas for $30 each. People want them for Christmas presents. Well, it's time to do some thinking. Now, that isn't near all what's in there. In fact, I don't even really care to read all what's in there. But anyway, I wanted to bring that to your attention to show that there is a multitude of ways that the devil is working today to deceive people. And one of them is through the unfruitful works of darkness. And anybody who reads that kind of trash, or pursues that kind of trash, or follows the lusts of the flesh, is following the unfruitful works of darkness. And there can be no peace to it. It's like Isaiah said, the wicked, there is no peace to the wicked. They're like a troubled sea which casts up its mire, and it just goes on and on. This troubled sea can't rest. And there really is no peace to the wicked. And yet the devil has carefully concealed his deception to think people, well, it's all right to do this sin. It's all right to follow this. He didn't tell them it wouldn't give any lasting peace. He didn't tell them that it would hold them up in times of great stress, that it would not hold them up, because it will not hold them up in times of great stress. But now there is a bit other, different type of deception. And I want to turn now to Matthew 24 and leave this one type that I've just been analyzing. This is found in 3 through 5. Many years ago, the disciples of Jesus Christ came to him and wanted to know concerning the events that would precede Christ's second coming and the end of the world. And what was the number one thing he said? Take heed that no man deceive you. No man. I brought out that out to start with. But now, like I said, this deception even goes a bit different than all this unfruitful works of the flesh. And this is an unfruitful work of the flesh, but in a different way. For it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. This indicates that not only will the moral things and the things of the lust of the flesh be a matter of deception, but this indicates that there will be another type of deception of those who would even proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, proclaiming that this is the way of life you should live, and it said they shall deceive many. And we're living in a time when we have people who are able to get vast audiences and hold up a bit or a part of the plan of salvation, and yet not hold up the whole complete unit. And Jesus Christ said here, that take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. On down in verse 11 it says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many false prophets. And this is something that should concern us, that there will be these things. And we find over here in 1 John, the 4th chapter, in verse 1, a passage of Scripture that is oftentimes used. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So it behooves us to try these spirits. Anything that would cause us to be into wrongdoing or anything else, or might think that certain codes of ethics are right when they're not, or prophets that are false, we must be aware and alert. Verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets." And it said, "These false Christs and these false prophets shall shew great signs and wonders, inasmuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." You notice that deception again? And the ability of these false prophets to be able, and false Christ to show these great signs and wonders. And they're going to look like the real thing. But they're going to be another one of the things of deception. So how careful you and I must be. These might seem in a way like frightening things. And yet, in another way, it should show to us the importance of getting our lives closer to Jesus Christ and relying upon Him and upon the written Word, which will surely portray us in the path that we should walk. I would like to turn to Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, and go over the first 9 verses. And this is actually the third type of deception. I mean, major ones that I wanted to think upon today. This last one. First is a deception that is about the whole world, trying to make people think that wrongdoings or wrong acts could be right. And secondly, there are those who purport to be men of God or preachers of God who are not and are deceiving many. And then thirdly, there is spoken of here in Ezekiel among those who were supposedly even a part of the church, maybe, or part of Israel here, it said, who would deceive those within that organization. So we needn't think, because we're within the Church of Christ, that there couldn't come things within our midst or prophecy or statements that were not authored of God or had God behind them. If they didn't have this, they could be another one of the forms of deception. And so I want to read this particular chapter. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel." Now see, this is pinning down quick who it is. See, those who really might have been a part of like today, could even be a part of Christ's church, mind you. "The prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say, Thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord." And so how careful we must be. "Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." Indicating that there will be those that would do that. So the admonition to try the spirits is vital and important. "O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the desert." Foxes in the desert have to be clever to live, don't they? And it says, prophets that speak out of their own heart and say, I've seen something when it is not of God, are just like the foxes in the desert. They're clever. And it's as the devil who would be the backer of it. "Ye have not gone up," this type of prophet. Now notice this. Now, and I thought upon this and considered it on how to tie it and everything. And I feel that this is one way that we could. Anyway, "ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." Now, when false things come, they have left their mark, and they have come. We have even heard them with our own ears. But these things do not help the people of the Lord, that He do not strengthen them to be able to stand in the day of battle of the Lord, which is ahead yet. They have seen vanity and lying divinations, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. And I've even seen this happen. Have ye not seen a vain vision, and have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And so any who do that, it says the Lord is against them. And if we follow him, then he could become against us. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people. That's pretty serious, isn't it? They shall not be in the assembly of my people. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Now, things that haven't been true, as well as true things, false and true both, have affected the Church of Christ from the day it was restored. It has affected others of the restoration. And I can think back in the late 20s, wherein an individual in the church who claimed to have a messenger regularly visit him, who in a part of these messages even said, you must be rebaptized. And it was taught. It caused some difficulty. About a third of the membership of the Church of Christ was led away by this person. False prophecy. Deception. It was a plan of the devil. It left its mark. It left its mark upon the Church of Christ. And other things of prophecy and statements that have claimed to have been of God and are not have left their mark. And the sad thing, the mark that has been left has more affected the weak and the more humble. And we're all supposed to be humble, this is true. But it's also especially affected those maybe that were not as strong in the faith as others, more adversely than those who were strong. It has left a mark. And we better be aware of the mark it has left. During conference, this particular scripture in Helaman, the second chapter, in verses 29 through 31, came to me, and I felt that I could draw a parallel from this on things that are happening or have happened concerning things that are false, concerning things of this nature. And in this particular reading, we find that within the church there began entering a type, well, it was actually pride that entered into the church, but it says really not the church, but entered into the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the church. And this pride entered in, and it did cause the persecution of many of their brethren. And now it says this was a great evil, and it did cause the more humble part of the people to wade or to suffer great persecutions and to wade through much affliction. Now here was a sad thing. There were those who began to be lifted up in pride. They began to persecute their fellow being. And it had caused the more humble, and it didn't say completely humble, it said the more humble to wade through much affliction. But instead of just openly saying, well, there's nothing I can do, or turning their back on it and saying, well, what's the use? What did these people do? They've met together and fasted and prayed often. And as a result of this, it says they did wax stronger and stronger in their humility and firmer in their faith of Christ under the filling of their souls with joy and consolation, even though they were living under distressing, persecuting type situation. Yet in all this, they decided to fast and pray to get more humble, and they became more humble and firmer in the faith. And this even was a way of purifying and sanctifying their hearts. And this sanctification came because they yielded their hearts unto God. And the parallel I wanted to draw, and I want you to notice this, substitute for pride, things that are false that have entered in that affected people in the Church of Christ, that has caused some, or maybe all, to suffer a form of persecution because of this. And this has happened. And this was made so real to me that I thought this could have a parallel here. Even though this has happened and things have transpired that has caused many people to become discouraged and maybe even not desire to walk with the church longer because of things that were false. Yet in all this, and it has caused maybe the more weak or humble ones, or the more humble, to suffer much persecution and to raise too much affliction. And really, when I thought of this, I've literally seen this, and substitute, in other words, and I'm not trying to say that this isn't the way it is meant, because this scripture is meant this way, but I could draw a parallel, that the thing to do is to regularly fast and pray. And by this, those who do this will become, how is it worded here? Stronger and stronger in their humility. They will become firmer and firmer in their faith. And this will become because of the willingness of a people, and I'm talking to a people today, I hope, that will heed this admonition this day to yield your hearts to God. Because we're going to need those who are firmer in the faith. There were a couple of statements made during the solemn assembly that ties to this. First, though, before I bring that out, things that are false can leave its mark. Or statements that are said under one service there, forgot which day now, it was, I guess, on Saturday, the solemn assembly. And because of some things that took place in it and statements that were made and this, it did cause distress among some of the people. But as we sang that final hymn, and this final hymn was 232 that we sometimes sing in our hymnal, God will take care of you still to the end. As we sang this beautiful hymn, I was able to sing it with far greater power. I felt the power of the Holy Spirit there that moved me very deeply, that God will take care of you still to the end, regardless of this. And I wanted to bring this in to show that God can. And in the afternoon, because of events of the morning that did cause maybe some to become somewhat distressed, I had cause to arise and testify of this experience. And also to admonish that if we will put our trust in God where it belongs, if we will rely upon Jesus Christ, then we will have the strength. God will take care of you. Still to the end, He's a Father, He's a Protector, and all this for us. You can read that whole hymn. I won't do it at this time. At another time in our solemn assembly, this statement was made, and I just mentioned about the importance of humility. It says, we need an absolute and positive humility that will erase our faults and enable us to see only our own. And that would have been our own faults. And another statement was made concerning faith. To become firmer in the faith. It says, a brother said, if you want to increase your faith, increase your service to the Lord. And how true that is. We need to increase our service to the Lord. And when you increase, I believe this is true. It isn't scripture, but it is true. If we increase our service to the Lord, then we certainly will become firmer in the faith. We will grow in faith. In John, the 4th chapter, I would just like to read there a bit for our attention. This is found in verses 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. We must not forget that. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if we really want to worship Him, we must do it this way. There really is no other way than that. Romans 8, ties with this very well, the first six verses, and I won't read them all, but I just wanted us to think upon these verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit. And now in verse 5 and 6, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And this is what's happening in the world today. People following after all these things I brought out to start with, and I really just barely touched on it. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And it says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we find this passage in Galatians, the fifth chapter. If we live in the Spirit, the 25th verse, let us also walk in the Spirit. And you go over into the next chapter, the sixth one, and verses 7 through 9, and see how this ties all together. Be not deceived. And this is what I was trying to bring out today, that there is many ways of deception in the world. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that is justice. If you sow to the flesh, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So how important it is that we're careful to sow to the Spirit and have that great promise of life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So really, it is worth the effort. Sometimes in the world we live, we really think, well, is all this really worth it all? But it says, in due season, you will reap if you faint not. So don't give up. As Malachi said in the third chapter, this. And I'll just read about 16 through 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And note this. Is it important or not to speak often one to another about the glorious things of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is the thing to do. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So it is important for us not only to talk about his name, to think upon his name, but our lives should radiate that we're living the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here is the beautiful promise. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son, that serveth him. Then shall he return between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And here goes on to this next beautiful statement in the first three verses. I really didn't intend to read it, but it ties so well. For behold, the day cometh, this is yet future, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly, mind you, the things I was stressing to start with, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that shall leave them neither root nor branch. Nothing to even cling to. This is a sad thing. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And I believe this is a literal ushering in of the millennium reign. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And it might be that that even leads up to it, this preparatory to that. But it certainly will go into it. I have one other thing I'd kind of like to read today. This was an admonition on the 2nd of February or April of this year that Brother Hausnick wrote down and then read to those who are assembled in the solemn assembly. And I would like to share this with you. It is wisdom that counsels that you separate yourselves from all such groups and societies which require your time, talents, and financial aids that could be otherwise spent in your own church activities. The time will shortly be upon you when you must decide to serve one or the other, but not both. So when you can, withdraw without much ado, and while criticism is less offensive against you. Obey the laws of the land, but be not entangled in its functions thereof. For very shortly the laws of your land will hold no protection for you, and more so as you become absorbed in support of the laws of God, your Father, and the eventual gathering to the center place of his earthly government, wherein alone can security be found. A firm decision to not otherwise be minded will bring peace of mind regardless of the forces of evil. And I thought that I would like to read that to you for your consideration at least. And if you would like to read it for further consideration, well, you're welcome to do so. But I hope perhaps today that I have brought a few things out that might point you to a greater awareness of our day, that might point you to your duty of serving God and Jesus Christ more fully. Because if you do this, you will have a special strength in the days ahead. You can have that peace like John, John spoke in the book of John, and later, I believe, the same one as the book of Revelation. But hey, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this is important. You believe in God, believe also in me. And also because of the day in which we live, we're told